Hey friends, and welcome to It's Better When You're Here podcast. My name is Pastor Michael, and I get to be the pastor of Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church, one church at two locations in Central Florida. This is the sermon that we preached this week. I hope that the message inspires you and encourages you and reminds you that God loves you. All right, here's the message.
So I feel like as a pastor, especially a Methodist pastor, nowadays, I find myself feeling a bit like I'm going back in time and finding old churchy words. I talk about things like the Eucharist or the narthex. The narthex, this funny word, it means lobby, but church people like to call it a narthex, I guess, to feel exclusive, to have some insider language. I even talk about membership. I love talking about membership with people who are younger than me. They're like, why do I need a membership? Is there a streaming fee? I thought you guys just streamed on YouTube. Do I get less ads? We should offer a subscription where I skip the announcements if you've got premium. Shepherd's Premium, no announcements. Someone write that down. I feel a bit like I'm going back in time. I feel a little bit like Indiana Jones, trying to find a different old churchy words, or maybe that's crazy. I didn't know that they were going to do that. Someone asked, what's the deal with the AI picture? And I was like, what AI picture? Because you know about this staff, man. I need to, it could be anything. I'm really glad that it was that. I look good. I need to save that. Okay, new profile picture just dropped. Or maybe more accurately, I'm kind of like those American Pickers guys. You remember the American Pickers guys? Just kind of like rifling through. That's really weird, man. Okay, cool. That's not a real picture of me. Anyways, I feel like, maybe the American Pickers guys going through old things, trying to find things that are worthwhile, blowing the dust off of old churchy words and bringing them to you as treasures that I have found. Today, I'm bringing a new one. I'm bringing a new one today, and it's called stewardship. The way as a church that we talk about generosity is through this word, stewardship. Everyone say stewardship. Stewardship. Yeah, that's kind of how I thought the energy would be about the word stewardship. Stewardship, yeah. Well, the thing about stewardship, the reason why we use this word is because a steward is someone who makes something beautiful with something they do not own. A steward is someone who makes something beautiful out of something that they do not own. I live deep enough in Dork Forest that whenever I hear the word stewardship, I have to think of the Steward of Gondor. Anyone else didn't have a lot of friends in middle school? The Steward of Gondor, not a king, but rather a ruler sitting in the place of a king. We as followers of Jesus believe that every good thing that we have comes from God. Everything that we have is a gift. It's something that we get to borrow for a while, something that we can make something beautiful out of that we do not own. The thing I'm going to say a lot today, the first thing you can write in your paper notes, if you've got a bulletin or you can make a digital note, is this. Let us steward the dream. When you talk about stewardship, when you talk about generosity, you end up talking about money, and we will be talking about money. As a church family, we've always been very open and clear about who we are as a generous family. If you're not going to talk about money when you're talking about generosity, you're just talking about ideas. You got to make these things real somehow, and money is how we do that. But today, I want to talk about what it means to be generous with our dreams, to have a dream that's not ours to own, but rather ours to share, ours to use to make the world a better place. And this absolutely sprung from last week. We wrapped up a series on dreams of the Bible. We talked about people in the Bible that we read about that either have fantastic dreams from God or had fantastic dreams for God in the world around them. When we were looking at dreams, we are looking at something that springs within the heart, that moves all of us. And one of the things we steward as a church is our dream. As a church community, as a group of people trying to follow Christ, we share a dream together for our world and for our neighborhood. We don't own the dream, but we get to use it. We don't own the dream, but we get to use it. I was talking with a pastor who grew up in Mulberry. He now serves a church in West Palm Beach. But he said he grew up about 5 minutes from here and said when he drove here, he was amazed that there were any buildings. Let me be clear. He didn't mean like there were a few new buildings. The last time he was here, there was nothing but cows and orange trees. He's a little bit older. Yeah. But what that means is that we are seeing a dream come alive. Dreams are something, as an organization, dreams that we have as a church community, as a group of people. A church is not a building, but a group of people. The dreams that we have end up manifesting themselves in things like buildings and fall fests and spring fests and kids ministry and worship ministry. Those dreams come alive. Someone had a crazy enough dream to build a building here on this property. I think about our chapel campus, which is 129 years old. That building is 129 years old. They built it 129 years ago down in downtown Highland City. And then when downtown Highland City moved to another place, they put the building on the back of a truck and drove it 3 miles and then plopped it right there because enough people had a dream. They jacked the building up. They put it on a truck. I'm sure it wasn't like, you know, it was probably a Ford Ranger. Let's be real. That thing could pull anything. And they dropped it in the place where the people were because there was a dream. Let us steward the dream. So I have a passage for us today. It's from James chapter 1. We're going to start reading in verse 16. If you have a paper Bible, you can use your paper Bible or you can read it on the screen. We have this tradition here at Shepherd's that after we hear the reading of God's word, the reader will say, "This is the word of God for us, the people of God." And then all of you will say, "Thanks be to God." But we like to add a little extra oomph. We like to add the word "woo" at the end. So be ready with your "woo." Hear the word of the Lord. "Don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from above. These gifts come down from the Father, the creator of the heavenly lights, in whose character there is no change at all. He chose to give us birth by his true word, and here is the result. We are like the first crop from the harvest of everything he created. Know this, my dear brothers and sisters, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to grow angry. This is because an angry person doesn't produce God's righteousness. Therefore, with humility, set aside all moral filth and the growth of wickedness, and welcome the word planted deep inside you, the very word that is able to save you. You must be doers of the word, and not only hearers who mislead themselves." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Very good. So every good gift. There's a lot in that passage that probably stuck out to you. There's a lot that stuck out to me. I'm sure you saw the words moral filth. We're not going to talk about that today. That's a different sermon. It's probably a different pastor. It's a different season. I'm sure we'll get to it at some point. But today, what I want to talk about is a few different things that I'll pull out as we go through the sermon together today. The first is this. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from above. At the very heart of stewardship is the belief that every good thing comes from God. It's the belief that the good things that we have in our lives, in our hearts, in our worlds come from God. It's the belief that everything that we create, everything that we have, isn't something that we made on our own. Everything that we have as a community, as a church, isn't something that we made on our own. You know, we got to welcome a whole bunch of people to both of our campuses. And yeah, it had something to do with the fact that I put a whole bunch of money into Facebook ads. How many of you have been scrolling through Instagram and saw, you know, an ad about a fall fest, right? I mean, that had something to do with it. And a lot of you invited people. You asked strangers to come to your church's fall fest. You did that bold and difficult and worthwhile thing. You did that work. And ultimately, friends, it's because of God that every good gift, every good thing that we have comes to us through God. That is at the center of who we are as followers of Jesus. But here's the good thing about a dream that comes from God. If we know it comes from God, we know it cannot fail. It's so easy for us, especially as a church, to look at the world around us and wonder if the ideas that we have, the ways that we want to live, are going to fail. There are plenty of stories of churches that have tried and failed, and we wonder, are we going to be the next one? This passage tells us, though, to ask this question of ourselves instead. What if it goes right? What if it goes right? If you've been around for longer than a couple minutes, you've heard me tell this story. But yesterday was our fifth Fall Fest. It was our fifth time to welcome people to our community, to have some vendors, to sell some pumpkins, give away a bunch of candy. But we had a first Fall Fest, and it was in 2021. When I came to Shepherd's in 2021, it had been a tough season for the church. There was this thing that happened in 2020. I don't know if you heard of it. It's COVID-19. It was not great for large groups of people. I don't know if you know this. Yeah. And so the church was rebuilding. It was in a time of, let's see what happens. Let's dream again. Let's believe again. Let's try. And so we tried to have a Fall Fest. And we planned for 100 people, 300 people registered, and 985 people showed up. It was a wonderful time. It was so scary. You know, here's the thing. When I heard the word that we had 985 people, I was like, yes, oh no. We don't have enough things for anyone, right? We don't have security. I feel like you need to have security if you have over 900 people. But we welcomed all these people. It was a great opportunity for us to see that the dream that was placed in the hearts of the people that built a warehouse in the middle of an orange grove knew that there was something alive here in this neighborhood. There was something worth fighting for, worth offering to the community. The hopes we have for our campuses don't come from us, but we get to be fueled by it. You know, the idea of a Fall Fest, it wasn't something that, you know, I cooked up. It was something that I stole, borrowed, whatever, from a friend at another church. But the only reason all those people showed up is because of God's great grace. That's what James tells us here. The reason why our dreams come to fruition is because of God's great grace. We experience God's love through the manifestations of the dreams that God has placed within us. Let us steward that dream. I love this passage here. It says, we are like the first crop from the harvest of everything God created. Here we are, the first crop. I love to garden. I really do. I love gardening. And I'm doing a pretty poor job of it right now, if I'm terribly honest with you. I'm growing a lot of St. Augustine grass, and I really don't want to be doing that. I've got one pitiful cucumber plant that some animal has eaten the top of. It's my neighbor's cat. Remy, I'm coming for you. There's one tomato plant that'll fall over any second now. It's really quite pathetic. I've got strings holding it up. I'm praying for it to live, and it's probably not going to. But I'm trying my very best. This isn't in my notes, but I'll tell you anyways. I have tried to grow a pepper, like a jalapeno pepper, for the last 8 months. It's just not happening. I'll plant it and I'll be like, yay, amazing. And then I'll get my little app to figure out what it is, you know, this little seedling. Did you know that zinnia and weed seedlings look a lot like pepper plant seedlings? Because I've learned that. There will be no jalapeno peppers in my future anytime soon. But here's the thing about the first crop. You better believe if my pathetic little tomato plant, I never call her pathetic to her face. It's only amongst you people that I say it out loud. I use sweet words to my tomato plant. But as soon as it drops one tomato, you better believe that I'm going to eat it before I get inside the house. I'm going to celebrate this beautiful tomato that God has given to me, that I somehow didn't kill, you know, that is alive, and I get to cherish it. That is what this passage is saying that we are. We are the very first fruits of the harvest of heaven. We know that we get to be that sweet first taste of something new coming to earth. And sometimes the church, instead of feeling like the first fruit, instead of feeling like the first little taste of heaven here on earth as it is in heaven, we can sometimes feel a bit like a museum. We can feel like a place that keeps good care of the things that are no longer useful. We get to take good care of the thoughts and ideas and beliefs that are not really helpful anymore. We get to preserve. I was a kid growing up in Boston, and my mom wanted to get me some culture. It didn't stick. But we went to the Natural History Museum, and they had this great Egypt section. This wonderful, you know, lots of Egyptian art and all these wonderful things. And I was walking around completely bored out of my gourd, was not interested at all in any of those things. And I was like the only seven-year-old with knee problems. And so I was looking for a place to sit down, and I found a couch and I sat down, and a guard ran up and said, get up, what are you doing? And I was like, I don't know, what am I doing? That's Cleopatra's couch. I was like, oh, my bad. I saw a couch, I sat on the couch, right? I think sometimes the church has a collection of Cleopatra's couches. It was a replica. It wasn't a real one. We all know that they wouldn't have just, it's not like it's the Louvre or something, you know? They would actually protect priceless things. Isn't that a crazy story? They just walked in and took stuff. We're in the wrong business, y'all. Anyways, so I'm sat on Cleopatra's couch, and sometimes I feel like that's what the church is. The church becomes this museum, this collection of things that are no longer useful, and when people are tired and they need a place to rest, the church is no longer that place. And I wonder if the dream that God has given to us is that we could be something different. The church needs to be a rehab, not a country club. The church needs to be a rehab, not a country club. It doesn't need to be a place that sells membership, but rather is a place where people can belong. Not a place where people feel like members that have exclusive rights or protections or privileges, but rather a place where people belong, a place of belonging. The church is the first harvest of heaven, so it needs to be open to everyone. If our welcome, if our open is narrow, only for a group of people that we allow in, then it isn't really heaven. It isn't really the first fruits of God's great grace. Let us steward this dream well. We have a word that saves, the word planted deep inside you, the very word that is able to save you. The world is in desperate need of a new normal. The world is in desperate need of a new normal. There's this new horror movie out. I don't know if you've seen it. It's called The News. And sometimes when you watch the news, you can feel as if the world is on its head. It's been turned completely upside down. I don't care if you're watching the news that is on the left side or the church that's on the, or the news that's on the right side, you'll find that the world is on fire. And I wonder if it has something to do with the fact that they're selling, you know, how much views they get. It may be, but it seems as if the normal that we see around us is not the way that it could be or it should be. And the world is in desperate need of a new normal. The church cannot be a museum for the perfect. It has to be a hospital for healing. Let us not forget that the kingdom of God will come only because of the church. The kingdom of God will not come because of any government or system or structure or program. It will only come because of the work of the church. We know this, and we must live as if that is the truth. Let us steward the dream. So how do you steward a dream? I'm talking about stewarding, you know, it's my American Pickers treasure that I found in someone's barn. I'm bringing it to you, this idea of generosity. How can you be generous with dreams? Well, the church found us, and it is for others. I don't know who brought you to church. Maybe it was because someone, invited you to a fall fest and you decided to come to church. Maybe you're here because your professor requires your class to attend a worship service as a part of your semester. That's a thing that I get to do now. It's pretty awesome. Maybe you're here because you saw some weird Facebook post about a church that truly welcomes everyone. I don't know. I don't know what brought you here, but now that you're here, just know that it's also for the world around us. If this message is for everyone, then where is everyone? It is our job to offer a welcome that we have then also received. It is our job to offer the welcome that we have received. The reason we are tired, some of us are sunburned. I get a sunburn in a part of my head that used to have hair on it. It's a real bummer. It's like a painful reminder that I'm getting older. Now, some of you might, your feet might be hurting, and some of you are worshiping online. Hello. I'm glad that you're there. The reason why your kids, have a candy hangover, like why they're so full of high fructose corn syrup, is because we have stewarded a dream. We were the ones picking up the dream that was dreamt a long time ago for this place. And our other campus, we picked up a dream that was dreamt 129 years ago, and we're carrying it now to this day. We steward a dream by offering a welcome to everyone, by having fall fests, spring fests, by opening a table to everyone. That is how we steward a dream. When we think of the church that will be here when we are gone, we steward. When we think of the church that will be here when we are gone, we are stewarding a dream. Whenever we make decisions, not just for us, we steward the dream. If the church loves others first, if the church dreams for its neighborhood, then we steward the dream. Friends, let us steward the dream. So what does it mean to be generous with dreams? Well, to be generous with our dreams is the first step to seeing a better today. If you want to see the world get a bit brighter, more real, more vibrant, we begin with dreaming for the world around us. To be generous with our dreams is the first step to seeing a better today. When we steward a dream, we will then give generously. Some of you have been given letters. Some of you I haven't gotten to yet. And it's a letter that just, it's a little bit about what God has done through our church already and what we will be doing in the coming years. Also inside of that will be a pledge card. If you are a part of this church family, you'll receive a pledge card at some point. That is how we budget as a church family. That pledge card allows us to know how we will be moving in a tangible way through our generosity. That letter is something that I get to do as your pastor. I get to write a little note on all of them. And again, some of you haven't received yours yet. It's coming. But that pledge card and that letter exists to show a tangible sign of the dream that we get to steward. Let us steward the dream. So I have some action points for you today, some ways that you could put this message into action, a way that you can not just hear the word, but also do it as well. This week, I want you to do something for me. I want you to take your bulletin or a piece of paper, whatever you have, and I want you to write down your dream for shepherds in October 2026. That's the first one I want you to do. I want you to write down what will it look like for us to be a church in October 2026. Now, I've given up on betting on the future, understanding what's going to happen in the future. I've not been able to predict the future with any sort of accuracy, but we could still dream, can't we? I said this at the chapel service. We had 35 people at chapel campus, which is huge, and we had 6 visitors, which was amazing. I had no idea that we were going to have that many people in that space in October 2024. I have no idea what we can anticipate in October 2026. And yet, if I read James seriously, it's my job to dream. I get to dream and believe that God is at work within us. So I want you to do that work. I want you to write down, pen to paper, your dream for shepherds in October 2026. And then I want you to write down your dream for shepherds in 2046, 20 years from now. What will this church look like? Who will we be? How will the world know us? How will the world be changed because of us? To dream 20 years into the future means that we believe that God will be at work within us now and into the future. And then the last one, 2126. I got my passport a couple years ago, and it said this will expire in 2021. And I remember thinking, that number doesn't exist. 2021? Yeah, right, grow up. That's ridiculous. Well, here's the thing. It's gonna be 2126 before you know it. I fully intend to not be here, just to be clear. May I live a long time, not that long. But someone will be here. Someone will be carrying along this dream. Someone will be continuing to dream boldly for their neighborhood. What will that look like? Who will it be? And then the second one is I want you to hold those dreams in your heart and your mind as you write your pledge card for the future. As you write your pledge card for 2026, I want you to have those three dreams in your mind and in your heart. Because we get to steward a dream that isn't ours, but has been given to us. An opportunity that we don't control or own, but rather is given freely to us. Let us steward the dream. Let's pray together. Hey friends, thank you so much for joining us this week. I hope that this message connected with you and inspired you. Please reach out to us on social media or through our website. We would love to know if this is your church family. If this message meant something to you, please share it with someone that you know or you love, or share it on social media.
We know that it would be so much better with you here, so much better with the whole world, knowing of God's great love for all of us. Have a great week and be blessed.